Okay, hi. Welcome to Bye. I don't know what happened then.
Hi.
I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And someday we will have a normal introduction.
A smooth professional introduction.
But not this day.
not this day.
Welcome to episode 24, this guys.
We fight.
Yeah, now we're about past adolescence at 24. Starting to have to think about, you know, being sensible and maybe getting a job.
Yeah. I thought I would start us off today. That's not the right tab. Where the hell is my tab? Okay. But hopefully I didn't have 30 tabs open. Closeted in Canada sends us their favorite kitchen disaster.
Oh, great.
This one isn't squicky at all, so okay, there's no warnings.
Cool.
Okay. One birthday, my then-boyfriend, now-husband, got me a cookbook dedicated entirely to cakes. We decided a fun, coupley activity would be to test it out. So we pick a recipe, go out, get all of the ingredients, and start baking. It's going fine. The cakes have turned out. They're cooling on the racks. It's time to get the frosting. Which just doesn't work. It's runny as hell. It's a glaze. We follow the recipe exactly, and it's a watery mess. He reads it over. I read it over. My mom, since we were at my parents' house, comes over to check it out. We try every method we can to thicken this frosting up to be able to spread it on the cake. Nothing works. It stubbornly remains a runny mess. And because we add a crap ton of extra icing sugar, it is now basically inedible because of how sweet it is. We ate it anyway, but I never trusted the cookbook again. Which is fair.
I was gonna say maybe did they use icing sugar or baking soda? What happened with that?
Right? I mean, I've actually tried. I was making a glaze once, and it would not thicken. It was just a watery sugar mess.
I never make my own icing anymore.
Yeah, my experience making icing is disastrous.
Yeah, that's why I usually
at best.
I think the one time I did was actually the same time as I had my cake clump disaster. So it worked.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just, you know, soaked it with sugar frosting.
I think the only one I've made that turned out good was cream cheese icing and some marshmallow type icing that went in whoopie pies. But that's it. Nothing else worked.
I baked yesterday. I baked brownies for my son, who's very cranky at the moment.
Aww.
And wanted them. He's just he's a cranky little boy. He's going through adolescence at 8 years old. But I baked brownies for him and lemon slice for my daughter because, of course, they don't like the same things.
Of course.
They don't like any of the same things.
Of course.
So
that's how
you have to make
works.
Individual meals for them if you want them both to actually eat something. They just get fed every second day now. One day one of them gets fed, the other day the other one gets fed. I'm sure they're fine.
Do you ice your brownies?
I do not.
The packet came with chocolate frosting, so I was tucked the chocolate frosting.
I don't want ice brownies.
A chocolate ganache, because that's a different deal.
Yeah, I feel like ganache is in its own
category
of things.
But otherwise, I don't like icing brownies.
Not on brownies. And fuck
the
buttercream. Like, seriously, just fuck
buttercream. Buttercream is too sugary or sweet.
Oh,
or
it's
something.
Too
I can't take
greasy.
It.
I can feel the grease in it.
It tastes weird.
I love it.
However, I'll eat a bucket of buttercream before I fuck with fondant, so.
Yeah,
I mean, fondant's fucking nothing. It's just like, make it look nice. And it's like, it does look nice, but.
It sure looks pretty.
It tastes like
nothing. It's like, eat some sugar paste.
Stuff.
Sugar paste.
And now we've got our food talk out of the way.
No, I'm sure we'll get back onto it at some point.
It's become our new Dragon Age.
Our new Dragon Age.
It's funny, isn't it? I don't know why we're so obsessed with food at the moment. We're just like...
I don't know. It's the holidays. It brings out the worst in everyone.
I just feel like I'm constantly hungry, and I'm constantly hungry for one particular thing only, and that's chips.
I mean, I'm constantly
and that's not
tired.
Allowed.
And when I'm tired, I'm hungry. Like, I planned ahead. So I had a sleep study the other day, and I fucking bought myself some pan pizza. I was like, I'm going to eat the shit out of this.
Yeah.
You said garbage pizza earlier. Are you talking about like the really wonderful $1 pizzas that you get and they take like 20 minutes to bake?
I had enough points at Domino's. I could get a free Domino's pan pizza.
Nice.
So free pepperoni and sausage. So it was like a greasy mess. And I was like, this... I did get heartburn so bad, but I don't care.
Sometimes
that's
exactly it's
exactly what I wanted today.
Oh. Man, I want a pizza now. Jesus. I didn't have a big breakfast today, so I should have done it. I should have thought about it. I should have gone, okay.
You knew the podcast was coming. You knew what that entails.
Yes. And now I'm just like looking at, I've got a couple of packets of ginger leaves on my table and I'm looking at going, can I have one of them? But it's not good audio.
You gotta come in armed for these things.
Yeah.
Today's theme, this is not a war, unless it's on Christmas.
Fight.
We're all in jumpy moods, it might happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I accidentally almost triggering fights with you, Brandon. Like, I'm not meaning to.
We're both so cranky right now, and like,
well, and like, we're both naturally kind of argumentative, so we just keep arguing points that are real stupid.
I know. Until we're both. And we got to the point today where I was like, you know what? This is the dumbest thing in the world we're fucking arguing about. So I just ollied out of chat. I was like, I'm just gonna go chill.
Oh my god, I changed the subject right when you decided to leave.
That's not good enough because I'll always come back to it. I'm like, and by the way.
Oh. I think I missed all of that. I was off doing other things.
I had to go back
and read over it.
It was really early. It was real dumb. Oh, it was real. Oh, I thought we were going to throw down. So, friend of the cast closeted in Canada wants to know, sports, do you follow them or otherwise have feelings about them?
I really highly don't. The closest I come to is Notre Dame. I take vague stock of how they're doing in football. Because it was my fucking hometown, and then it was the college I went to, so, like, I feel vaguely obligated to know how they're doing. I believe they have not lost a single time yet this season, so good for them, I guess. I don't even know why I feel obligated. I literally didn't go to see a game the entire time I was at college, even though they would give us free tickets.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, it became a point of pride, like, I'm not going. Because I've made it to senior year without going, and I'm not going. So yeah, that's as close as I come to following any sort of sports.
We used to have when I was a kid, like they put the cricket on the radio, which is hilarious. I mean, I don't get following sport anyway, but why would you follow it through an audio medium?
I don't know, especially
cricket.
But we did it all the time. Whenever my dad would take us out to my grandma's cabin on the lake and we would be like eating lunch or swimming or something and someone would have the radio outside with the baseball even. Like
I do feel like it's vaguely generational maybe.
Yeah.
People did it more.
Yeah, but
back in the day.
There's something sort of very calming though about the cricket on the radio because it's like this long silence and then you hear this dun 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 and then like whack. And then a smattering of in the background, and it's just like, and the commentators as well. Like we had some really cool commentators.
Yeah.
The most famous of which has died only recently. Actually, I think can't remember any of their names. But that some of them were pretty funny, and there was a comedy. Yeah. So we said that one, and so that whenever I hear cricket on the radio, I sort of get vaguely nostalgic. But I don't even know who's in the team anymore.
That's how I feel about baseball commentators. It was, and I can't remember that I could look it up, but I'm too lazy. I can't remember the name of the Detroit Tigers commentator for all those years. And that's who used to do all the games. And I'm almost sure he's dead now, along with like Harry Carey and all of them. Like, we listened to all of that, and I get
Harry
very...
Carey, isn't that what you do when you're committing suicide as a Japanese? Harry Carey. Harry Carey. Sorry, that was just me trying to do a bit and it didn't work. So just knock it out.
Anyway, baseball on the radio makes me very nostalgic. I don't know why. It just, yeah, it has like this atmosphere to it. But nothing else. I can't tolerate any other sport on the radio.
See, the hilarious thing is Notre Dame is literally the only thing I'll keep track of, Notre Dame football. But it's also the reason I hate fucking sports. Because it made my life hell growing up, because the roads would be completely congested and,
oh yeah,
like, you couldn't do anything in town when there was a, yeah, game going on.
It was like that in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I think it was just, yeah, I guess it's, but it was my entire childhood and then into my adulthood, so I think it's still just weirdly nostalgic. It, oh, was, I guess, I think I've also softened on it in college. Because since I didn't go to the games, I got to enjoy it. They would put out extra fancy food in the dining courts on game days. Oh, yeah. Since, you know, all the alumni,
football
and
players
would
and
be
alumni
back.
And yeah.
So you gotta give them fancy shit. So then I would get to go, and it would be completely empty. I would always go while there was a game going. Eat some steak and some chocolate mousse and shit, and just live it up.
Nice. I was in marching band, so I had to like go to all the games, yeah, and yeah, like mildly pay attention.
Yeah,
I had to know what a first down was so that we could jump up and play when we got excited about it, you know, and
yeah,
and stuff. And beyond that, it was okay. That guy just crossed the goal line, so I guess we'll play now too. Which, football is not the great mystery that a lot of guys would have you believe. Like, it's, yeah, really not.
It's like you've got a thing that you've got to get from one end of the field to the other end of it. That's the basic.
That's the basics of it.
That's the, yeah, basic modus operandi of most sports.
It's even
a thing you've got to get from one side to the other side. You've got to stop.
It's even more simple than that. Like, you get like 4 tries to move the ball 10 yards. Okay, and if you, yep, don't do it, then the other side gets to try. It's not that difficult. But, yep, every man in my family growing up was like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. You know, like it was some,
yeah,
complicated
great mystery.
You
know, if you want a sport that is totally incomprehensible, you need to watch Australian rules football. I have no fucking idea what that's like. You get like the scores are really weird. Like, there's 3 separate scores, and I don't know which one has to be the highest in order for you to win. And you get scores for catching the ball as well as like kicking the ball, and it's utterly incomprehensible. But it's quite fun to watch because you know how most football players, especially gridiron, they're all really big,
yeah,
and beefy, as well as, and that's the same with rugby, which is our version of gridiron, which is, you know, far superior because it's, you know, anyway. But the Australian rules football, it's all about how high you can jump, and so the guys who play it are really lean and like really lean physiques rather than the big beefy physiques that you get in rugby, and their shorts are very, very short, and they wear singlet tops too, so you get a lot. It's a pleasant on the eyes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's some sports I watch for the aesthetics.
Hockey, but,
yes.
You know. Hockey players are the best looking athletes out there. I'm just gonna lay it out there. Hockey players, see,
aren't they homicidal?
Like, as long as they have their teeth. As long as, like,
yeah.
I'm personally a fan of soccer/football players.
Football.
Football.
See, I pretend to stay on top of what's going on in hockey, you know, but I can't really. We're so detached from professional sports down here. Like,
you mean hockey's not a big game in Hawaii?
Hockey is not a big game here. Well, they have like roller hockey and field hockey.
Yeah, because it's like,
and
you've got so much. You've got so much ice to spare.
Yeah, but like football games happen way earlier in the day. And then when we lived in Korea, like instead of Super Bowl brunch or anything like that, like you would get up and you could go out and have like a 5 a.m. Super Bowl breakfast buffet or something like that. Because it was just so stupid early in the morning if you wanted to go to a bar and watch the game. So it's just been inconvenient times for us for so many years, yeah, that we don't.
Same, it's, that's the same with like the World Cup down here for soccer. There was one year I think they played it in Thailand, so it was right in our time zone, and that was the best year because we just spent the whole time in Irish pubs just watching soccer. And that's the thing as well. Team sports, I think it's funny. It's not something you want to watch by yourself. You got to go and watch it with people who care about it, and I mean the caring is affected. Like I went to State of Origin once because back when my husband was high and mighty in the finance industry, and like we got given tickets to a box party to watch State of Origin. State of Origin's like rugby, but New South Wales versus Queensland, and it's ridiculous and dumb, and it's always but for some reason. It's the one where the most fights happen, State of Origin. So it's kind of fun to go to, but and I was like, oh yeah, we'll go because there'll be free food and booze. But I wasn't anticipating enjoying the game. It was fucking great. I had a great time.
There's a big difference between watching it live and watching it on the television or listening to it on the radio.
I mean, like, that was always the argument people pitched at me for try to actually go to a football game.
Yeah.
I cannot take crowds. They stress me out way, way, way too much.
Yeah. And football games are kind of...
Yeah. No, college, they're a bit intense.
College football games are kind of wild. Yeah. I did manage to go to a Detroit Red Wings game back when they were still in the Joe Louis Arena, which was one of my goals in life because I knew it wouldn't last. Now they've got like... Little Caesars something or I don't even know what it's called now, but I miss the Joe and it was so much better. Like just the energy, there's energy in the room, you know, like with everybody getting excited, and then you get like your lemonade or whatever, and we had foam fingers, we just did it upright, so
we get I went to a tennis match, a couple of tennis matches once at the New South Wales Open, and that was good fun too, actually, being in the crowd, watching the tennis. And we used to have just, again, a nostalgic thing when the Australian Open was on every year because, again, it's the only Grand Slam tennis tournament that's on at a time when we can bloody watch it because every other one is like 2 a.m. So Mum would just put the tennis on and we'd just have it on all day, just in the background, over Christmas. So it was kind of a – actually, no, I think Australian Open starts just after Christmas. Mm-hmm. There's New South Wales Open and then the Australian Open, so there's two fairly major tournaments, and we just had it on the background, and it felt like my birthday because my birthday's there as well. So every time I see tennis on the TV, it's like, again, a nostalgia reaction to it. And it's also fun. Like, I enjoy watching it too. There was a time when Australia was good at it too. Back when I was a kid, we used to actually win stuff. We don't win anything anymore.
Win things without everybody else falling down first.
Yes, yes. That was... In tennis, it doesn't work that way. We actually had to be good at it. We couldn't just rely on everyone else to be bad at it.
See, I do actually like winter... I do actually like some Olympic events. Like, I love the luge and... whatever the other one is where you go down head first. I can't remember what it's called, but I had a great
suicide.
Pretty much. And the two-man luge and all that. And for summer Olympics, I love men's gymnastics, specifically men's gymnastics.
I love all the gymnastics, actually. I will watch the men's. I love the ice skating too. And
yeah,
the Winter Olympics, that's always
I do love all gymnastics, but I love watching the men's events because it's just like this massive upper body shit that I couldn't hope to ever accomplish.
They are insanely strong, those guys. It's cool.
It's massive.
So I think the conclusion to that question is that we actually do quite enjoy sport. It's just that we're not like into it the same way we're into, say, Dragon Age.
We see ourselves literally only it's like Notre Dame football. That's all.
One of my favorite things is to go somewhere where people are watching a game that I don't care about and like just randomly pick a team to cheer for.
Yeah.
Like based on whoever I want to pick a fight with that day. Surprise, I do this with my family too.
Not surprised. Not surprised. I have a bag that has no surprise in it.
Oh, my husband and I are from a mixed faith marriage where he grew up liking one football team and I grew up liking another that are in the same conference. And so he likes the Packers and I like the Detroit Lions. Well, okay, nobody likes the Detroit Lions. Most of us in Michigan who grew up in Michigan like feel obligated to support them.
Yeah.
And it's part of your coming of age in Michigan is becoming a Lions fan and learning how to handle disappointment and manage your expectations in life. So it's a good life skill to have being a Lions fan.
Yeah. It's a bit like having part of my thing with Notre Dame is that I'm so contrarian with some things. And I've got like
what?
one of their big rivalries in state was Purdue and a lot of my friends went to Purdue, so I've got plenty of them rooting for Purdue, and I'm like, huh, you'll fail. And they usually do, and so then I get to be all smug. And
that doesn't sound like you at all.
Which is even funnier because Travis went to Purdue himself. But
oh, that's funny.
But hometown loyalties won out, I guess.
That was actually a second part to the question was, do any of us have inner city rivalries that we're aware of? Either where we live now or where we grew up. I can't think of any.
Mine were most sports based. So,
yeah, like, most of them were sports based for me, but my big one was.
Cities.
Yeah, my big one was like Detroit versus Green Bay, and those aren't even like remotely close. It's all sports based, you know, like
yeah. The
Red Wings and the Capitals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But. Other than that, I can't think of anything.
I mean, I had like vague Midwestern rivalries in that I am always like fighting for Chicago as the best big city just because it's the one in the Midwest.
I did live in the Detroit area for a while. No one likes Detroit unless like you're from Detroit. And so like I have a love of Detroit.
Yeah.
But a lot of the rest of the world is just like, Detroit. So
Detroit's a weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sydney, most of mine were more, I guess, class based. So, like, I was shitty with anyone from the various suburbs around South Bend because they weren't like the super rich suburbs where all the Notre Dame professors and coaches and stuff.
The disdain about Detroit is very race based. I'm sure of it because it's like probably one of the most predominantly person of color cities in the United States.
Yep. Now we've got in Sydney, because we've got the big bridge, you might have heard of it, Harbour Bridge, separates one side of the city to the other. So we've got the North Shore and the Southern Shore.
Okay. Right?
And I don't know. The North Shore is a very rich area.
Right.
So it's, and the Southern Shore, the regular part of the city is down to the south. And then it's funny because then there's another bridge further south that goes over another river and there's the Shire down there. It's actually called the Shire. The Sutherland Shire. And like the Sutherland Shire is also fairly wealthy, but it's not as well to do as the North Shore. So there's like this three separate parts of the city that all hate each other. But the Shire guys, like the Shire is like so white. It is the whitest place in the world. I went down there to do so Sydney is very multicultural and so there's lots and lots and lots and lots of people of colour, huge amounts anyway. But the Shire like has basically got a border gate on it, and if you go down to the Shire, it's all white. It's just white as snow across the road. So that's interesting. And then, of course, there's the famous Sydney-Melbourne rivalry where Melbourne gets all uppity about Sydney and Sydney doesn't give a fuck. So. We've got inner city rivalries and we've also got capital cities. Because there was a big thing about which city was going to be the capital of Australia, Sydney or Melbourne. And the fighting was so bitter that they just built Canberra. They made Canberra the city, the capital. Like they built, like nothing was there. Canberra was invented to mollify Sydney and Melbourne and stop us from fighting each other about who was going to be capital. So, yeah, interesting. My little bit of Australian history for you guys.
Nice. Okay, let's see. What do we got next? Oh, Anonymous on Tumblr asks, how do you, oh Eldritch Ones, survive a Tumblr apocalypse?
I mean, that Tumblr post was going around about what year we started Tumblr the other day. We're all, like, you're a fucking You're Cthulhu. Oh yeah, you're Brandon. You started in 2008 or something. Yeah.
I didn't even know it started in 2007 until like this whole recent hoopla broke out. Like, I was like, yeah, I started my blog in 2008 when it started. It must have been like going for like 2 weeks in 2007 or something, because I was right at the beginning.
Yeah. No, I didn't start until 2011. So not quite same, as Eldritch. And
we both jumped ship, I think, from the BioWare BSN.
We were both on from the BSN the BioWare to message boards. Yep. That's right.
And then jump ship to Tumblr. There was a bit of an in-between Twitter phase, but...
Did you ever do Dreamwidth or LiveJournal, Claire?
No.
I'm
extremely
from
antisocial, so I'll do one social network at a time.
Yeah, I think I went from the BioWare boards to LiveJournal, which sort of died very shortly after I went to LiveJournal, and then we went to Dreamwidth for a while.
Yeah.
And Dreamwidth was just a weird place. I don't know what's going on. It's a weird place.
It really is a weird place. I resurrected my account today just, you know, for shits and giggles. And the fan community that I met you in, Imogen, is still going.
I'm still a moderator of that. I used to get like
there was a post dated yesterday.
Oh my God.
I logged in. I don't recognize any of the names, but like the admins are still the same, and like all of us are still members there. But like,
that's hilarious.
Worked out for me because I went first to Twitter because people had kind of migrated to Twitter from the BSN, and I was there long enough that I avoided. I think that's when all you guys were doing the Fade Bar RP stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
Formspring.
So I avoided
Formspring.
that. And then I jumped to Tumblr.
Yeah, Formspring was great. The Formspring months.
That's where I've been ever since. I mean, I survive it by just, I guess, not caring. And like, I've gotten through so many real world would-be apocalypses that... there's the 2012 one and 2000 and there's some other one.
Dude, I was a bartender during Y2K. Like we survived that one. It was fine. Yeah, I haven't been worried about anything since.
Tumblr shit. I'm just like, I mean, at this point, it's like, I don't know. Tumblr itself is so bad at managing anything that it's like, I might end up off Tumblr just because I get kicked off Tumblr. But I'm like, whatever, I'm not going anywhere myself. I'm also not going through 5 zillion posts to see if they're flagged, but
yeah.
I know that enough are flagged that if they want to kick me out, they can.
I've seen enough upheaval in Tumblr in my days.
Yeah, it's just
since,
like
since
it happens
my
every
eldritch,
couple of years.
Yeah, every couple of years.
Couple of months.
Since my eldritch beginnings, you know, and you just kind of buckle down and let the reactionaries get their feelings out, and then you come back and everybody's fine. Like the new normal will settle in and everyone will be fine.
Remember when everyone lost when they stopped doing nested posts?
Oh yeah, that was
people ran away.
When they took away what was the thing, fan mail or something like that?
Yeah, fan mail.
It was like an ask, but you could actually send links. Like that was an outrage.
I never managed to make
the funny thing is I think that they didn't fully get rid of it. Like it's still there if you like type like slash like fan mail or whatever.
No, I think you're right.
Or at least it was for a while. They might have finally done it. Like I know I checked a few times afterwards just because it was hilarious to me that it was just still there.
And this recent
then they spread. They were like, now we'll have a messenger, and then they were like, it will spread like a virus.
That was
message
weird.
Other people, and it's like, what the hell?
And Imogen, like Imogen, politely infected all of us.
Yes, it is politely. I mean, it's. I have had a suspicion, and this latest Tumblr apocalypse has pretty much confirmed it, as far as I'm concerned, that Tumblr management are all aliens.
The
female presenting nipples.
They
and
have
then, what was the second thing they
human
said?
Curators.
That's right. More human moderators. Yeah. Like more. We're going to have more humans.
We're going to have more humans.
Oh.
And
like,
I,
at the moment,
I,
I'm,
Go ahead.
As I say, at the moment, it's just one dude. That's, I'm pretty damn sure this is one dude just going flagged.
I think the flags are automated right now, and there's just one dude going through them, like, to see if, like, it's working.
Yeah.
I just saw one that was just before we started recording.
Yeah, I feel for all the people that this is affecting, you know, for various reasons, but I've reached a point in my Tumblr life where I'm like the crotchety old lady shaking my cane. I'm like, just get these dicks off my lawn.
Like, yes, I don't worry about dicks.
Like, I don't. I would very much like the dicks off my lawn, but I would also like them to not delete all my art.
I know.
Yeah. Because it wasn't even anything that like I would scroll right by things that were, I guess, you know, at least slightly not safe for work. Like, oh, there's someone without a shirt on. But it would be like, that's fine. But then it's like this picture of a dog. Oh.
You always get flagged for weird things, though.
I wonder if
it's like, did you think the broom was a penis tumbler? What's going on here?
I think what I was looking at is I wonder if one of the reasons why a lot of them are getting flagged is because they've been liked or reblogged by porn blogs.
I bet. So
it's not necessarily the content of the picture that they're looking at. It's actually the connections that are in there.
The linked connections, because that's how porn blogs get their Google hits.
Exactly.
Is
yeah.
By
so,
reblogging or liking one of your posts, and then they get
So that's boring and not very good pod, but I was basically trying to work out why your beautiful picture of Taco and Luke was flagged, which was stupid. It's just
I get some of those because the porn blogs definitely latched themselves onto popular posts, and that was a fairly popular post. But there was some, like, I mean, some of it was my original art, which doesn't ever get very many notes, and so I can't imagine.
Oh, I get porn blog notes on, like, the most random shit.
I mean, like, sometimes I'll make a dumb comment and I'll accidentally mention something like a dick or something, and that will get a porn blog. Like,
I made a post.
She said dick. Yay!
I made a post saying that I loved Bobo Del Rey, and I got porn blogs on that one. So I don't.
They love Bobo too.
They also love Bobo.
Oh. I mean, I mean, one of the reasons why I block the porn bots, every single time they came up. I actually went through my entire follower list recently and blocked and
you know how
all
long
the porn
that
bots.
Would have
so
taken me?
That could be why I haven't had a single thing flagged.
Yeah, I block them as soon as they pop up. I check every new follow, like just in case I want to follow back. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And
it's just because you want a surprise dick. It's a form of gambling. You're like, is this going to be, if I click on this, am I going to get a dick in my face? Yeah. And
it doesn't help that with Tumblr, you could have a porn bot just named like Cindy572. Yeah. And then you have like an actual blog called like Cumsucker69. And then I'm like, I look at the name and I'm like, is this a porn bot or is this just a normal bot?
That's why I have to click through, because I never know. I don't know if it's someone like being edgy. Or if it's actually a porn blog.
Yeah, I've got thousands. I can't click through on all of them.
Oh,
I don't want to click through.
The price.
I'm just a Tumblr baby, so I don't have to worry so much. I mean, the only reason I've got 700 followers is because I started in 2011. I get like one every 2 weeks. Who do you want? Like, I mean, and all the people who want to watch me flailing over Captain America followed me way back. So I'm getting no new content from that.
Yeah, I have like almost 900 followers now, and I swear probably at least 750 of them followed me back in 2008, and they don't know what the fuck they're doing anymore.
Yes, I suspect that no one remembers who I am because I changed my URL as well. So, and like, I know I've followed a few. Like, I know people show up on my dash. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I knew you from this, but I have no fucking way of working that out. I don't know. And if I message them and say, can you remind me of how I know you? They're going to go, well, I don't even know who you are. So
Yeah. See, I follow few enough people that I know who everyone I follow is. But as for who follows me, it's like some people I feel are still around because, I mean, it was originally pretty much an Anders vlog, and it's still pretty consistently has Andy.
Was? So, was?
Well, okay. That's what I'm saying. It was and still is. So, like, I feel like there's still some satisfied customers along for the ride. And then otherwise, there's people, I think I post infrequently enough that some just are just still along for the ride because, like, at most they'll maybe get
never see any content.
Of, like,
yeah.
A dog or something.
I like to think that at least 5% of someone's Tumblr followers are people who just, they don't sleep at normal hours, yeah. So they just need something new to look at every time they refresh the screen.
My favorite people are the people that realize I'm at Anders blog, because then every so often I'll just get this flood of, like, Anders likes and reblogs, and I'm like, when will they give up on my tag? Because I'm going to tell you now, buddy, it's hundreds and hundreds of pages long. You're going to have to give up.
I would say, though, like, for surviving something like this, like, first of all, don't be a dick to staff. Like, just
no.
Just stop.
It doesn't accomplish
anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. Stop tagging them, being like, what the hell, staff?
Oh, I can also say right now, do not sign a petition on change.org.
They oh my god. It makes me so ashamed. I used to work for change.org back when it was a news blog. Like, we wrote actual news stories. And now it's like, I don't want to tell people that I worked there. it used to be serious journalism, guys. But I mean, don't be a dick to the staff, but, like, you can send them emails to tell them how you feel about it. You know, nice emails to tell them how you feel about it. Make plans, you know, and I think mostly this is just going to blow over once things get
and
sorted.
And I mean, if it doesn't blow over, if you feel like it's not going to, it's like, yeah, just get in touch with the people you want to keep in touch with and let them know where you are. And
if it doesn't blow over to your
satisfaction, their Twitter handles.
There's always something new. I've gone through so many social media things at this point.
Yeah. The reasons I use Tumblr aren't affected, so I realize that I can stay calm while everybody else is.
Yeah, I mean, if I was like making money from a porn blog, then I'd be very upset right now.
I don't understand how people are making money from porn blogs on Tumblr, but I don't want it explained to me. Like,
please don't at us.
I feel for you. It doesn't comprehend. I don't comprehend.
I think it's most affecting artists.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's mostly affecting artists.
I mean, whether or not they did straight up porn, and some of them did, obviously, but, you know, there's plenty of not safe for work material.
I mean, I was not kidding when I said I won't have to see Dorian choking on Iron Bull's dick anymore, because I've seen a lot of that.
Oh, and yeah, I mean,
it's out in the wild, it's untagged, and I want it off my lawn, okay?
Yeah, I mean, this is straight up porn, but then there's also, like, plenty of people that did just more nudity, or I don't know.
Yeah, nudity's fine, but, like, I don't want to see the fucking, like.
Oh, I know. It's just, like, I think, like, yeah, it's just, I mean, there's people that had mixed blogs. Like, I mean, there's someone I followed that, had so definitely, you know, risque material, but they also did lots of normal stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them go.
So we'll adjust and we'll soldier on.
And again, what Brandon said is right. The way that I use Tumblr and Brandon uses Tumblr, less so Claire, is just so manifestly not affected by the change. I mean, and again, I mean, and also,
we're writers and nobody reads writing.
Not to be
anyway.
Restrictive and not to be non-sex positive and that, but it is actually a site that was created with teenagers in mind. Yeah. So the fact that, you know, there's 13-year-olds on this site, so. You know,
I also just feel like there's better places to post.
There's just better places for your porn. I just feel like there is that, because the tagging system hasn't worked forever. The not safe for work filter hasn't worked properly forever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what you do. Like, there's just no way to stop from getting porn blogs, like, following you all the time. And and getting random dicks to pop up on your dash and stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, or, God, the cum shots, guys. If I never see another fucking cum shot on my blog, I will die happy. Yes. There's just some things I can't take, and that is it. Like, no more facials!
I was mostly concerned because if they delete my blog, I've got so much stuff on there that I don't have saved elsewhere.
Oh no. See, you might be one of those people who would benefit from exporting some of your shit.
Yeah, but my problem is if I did, like, because there's those, like, download your blog, and I'm like, I don't want to see the size of that file. Like, fucking,
you need to buy yourself
seven
a hole.
Years of Tumblr.
If it's beyond five pages back in my history, I don't want to know about it anymore.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like, older art wouldn't be such a loss for me. There's some I need to go through. Honestly, I just need to go through in some of my writing because, I mean, newer stuff I mostly have on Google Docs. But
yeah,
and
also like guys, don't
for you guys. Make sure you've got stuff on other things.
Yeah, don't use Tumblr as your archive anyway.
Yeah,
like,
I've gotta,
no,
just gotta
definitely not
put some of it on. AO3
it's been
and stuff.
Yeah, it's been too tetchy for too long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So because our listeners are lazy, I thought we'd go back, and we talked about this a little bit last week. We'd go back and look at some advice that has been given elsewhere.
Oh yes.
And maybe have our hand at critiquing that.
Yes.
And now the one we did last week, I think that's gonna go on our Patreon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But today I found a advice magazine from 1690s England.
Awesome.
So I thought we could kick off with this one and maybe make it a new thing. I don't know. But anyway, so this
I've got to think of a name for it. It's going to be a segment. So
yeah, I was like, I have it written down as retro advice, but I mean, we've got to come up with something better, something.
Yeah, I'll think of something clever.
Yeah, you're good at
when
clever.
When my brain starts working.
Yeah, you're good at clever. So, it fascinates. I wanted to see like what was niggling at the brains of people back then, and yeah.
Probably not porn blogs on Tumblr.
Tired of all these home shots out in my yard.
Well,
in my fields.
So the question, and there's no names or anything on the question. So this is from what is this called? This is Athenian Mercury magazine from 1690s. If I am thinking of committing any great and enormous crime and sin, such as adultery, but do not personally and actually commit it, am I guilty of the crime and sin? Do you guys want
to? Catholicism says yes.
Do you want to hear their answer first, or do we want to take our crack at it?
I mean, I don't think our answer is going to change based on what 1690 advice giver gives. So
okay, because
let's hear what they said first.
This is pretty good. Though our thoughts generally proceed from the habit of our minds, upon which account we are the more guilty if they are disorderly, yet our inclinations, likewise having great dependence on the temperament of our bodies, a bare disposition is much less culpable than an act. But where there wants nothing but an opportunity to complete it, the crime is the same in the sight of God Almighty.
Told you, Catholicism says yes.
Catholicism says yes.
I like how
are you Catholicism though? I mean, what does Claire say?
Claire says the brain does a lot of fucked up shit, so no. You're fine. I mean, as long as you don't seriously mull it over.
I mean, I've thought long and hard about punching people.
Yes.
Okay, seriously, mull over, like, actually doing it. I mean, I've indulged in the fantasy of doing this, but
I've had my own onanistic fantasies of doing stuff like that.
I think it's, I mean, obviously, it's like this guy's going, I haven't done it, but I'm thinking of it.
I glanced at my neighbor's ankles yesterday.
So the fact that he actually specifically says adultery is like, oh man, I got the hots for my neighbor's wife. I really want to do her. And it's like, I don't know. I think that thought crimes are, there's some great Star Trek episodes about thought crimes, but thought crimes are not crimes. Like, But the problem is that if, yeah, yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Just don't kill her or have sex with her. Or
I also appreciate the conflation of sin and crime as the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, I still like it that way these days.
Oh, it's just weird.
And I mean that, like, not to get too modern.
Not to get all 2018 up on you.
Not to get all 2018 up on you here from the 17th century. But I mean, just because you have chosen your meal doesn't mean the dessert case isn't also visible.
Was it my sister says I'm married not dead. I'm married not dead.
I'm married not dead. And of course, like, I take that one step further. I'm like, I'm your wife, not your jailer. So
I just love that. I love that. I mean, I have a Catholic husband, and you guys, you were raised Catholic too, weren't you, Brendan?
Yes.
Yeah. So I love seeing the Catholic point of view of things.
I don't know that I'd call my point of view Catholic, though.
The Catholic upbringing means your point of view. You have your point of view, but you're feeling guilty about it. I'm sure you're feeling guilty about it somewhere in there. That's going to be happening, because otherwise.
Yes, yes.
Now I just want to break out so much random morality. Teach Imogen Catholicism, the podcast.
I told you about when we went to Ireland with my husband, and he was quite keen to he wanted to go to an Irish mass because I don't know how it's different because I didn't go, but
it's mass in Ireland, and they're a little more hardcore about it.
Yeah, they're a bit more hardcore than Australia anyway. And Murray's like, oh, we should nip in for mass. I'm like, I don't think they'd welcome me. And he just said it's okay, I'm Catholic. I have a plus one, you can come with me.
That's what my grandpa always said. I was like, I never had first communion. He's like, it's okay, you're with me.
Yes, exactly. It's like Catholicism gives you one plus one. So it's like, okay, cool. I mean, we didn't go, though.
Technically, as long as you're not taking communion, they don't know or care.
Like, oh, well, that's true, too. We actually went to a Catholic.
I was taking communion. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, in theory, like,
free snacks.
You can be an atheist all you want up in a Catholic mass, and it's not like they're going to, like, sense you out or something, or, like, you're going to sizzle when they throw the holy water out.
It's just how will they know, you know?
I just think it's funny as well, because we went to a Catholic
the
wedding
point
once.
I mean, God will know, but they won't know, so you can go in if you want.
Yeah, God. If I thought God existed, then he would know, and that would be... But we went to a Catholic wedding once, and Mario was like, oh, this is a friend of his. And he's like, I wonder if they'll do the full mass. And they fucking did.
Oh, man.
We did also ask all our friends, though, if they were okay with that.
Hilarious because Mario was
sitting through that because we would like to do this. And yeah, we had, you know, our pagan and atheist friends come. It all worked.
But I just felt like I was in a class that I was bad at, because all the people around me were standing up before, like, they would just go, they'd all stand up, and I had no idea why they were standing up, and they'd sit down again. I was like about half a second behind on everything, and I was just like, oh, I don't get what's going on. And also, it was fucking hot. God, it was like 40 degrees, and we were stuck there for 2.5, I don't know how long it took. It felt like 5 hours.
Generally, it's only an hour.
An hour. That's like the
Even
Catholic Church tagline. It's an hour.
Yeah.
And we went to that was hilarious because it was quite interesting, but yeah, way too hot. And then we went to the dinner afterwards, and the father of the bride, his speech went for 4 hours. I was like, I want to go back to mass. Can I go back to mass?
At least they had refreshments at mass.
Yeah.
Oh, what's our time at? Do we have time for another one?
We got 10 minutes.
Oh, we got 10 minutes. All right. Because this one's...
We haven't got an hour. We can't do mass.
Yeah, we need to move on before I start listing off weird things that are considered sins.
Well, I have some questions for you later, and you can get all of that out. Okay? So the question is, are you ready for this? is it proper for women to be learned?
No. So, yeah. 1690 Imogen's like, nah, no, of course not. Not proper at all.
All right, here goes the answer. All grant that they may have something learning, have some learning, but the question is of what sort and to what degree. Some indeed think they have learned enough if they can distinguish between their husband's breeches and another man's.
Fabulous.
Others think they may pardonably enough read, but by no means be trifled with writing. Others again that they ought neither to write nor read. A degree yet higher are those who would have them read plays, novels, and romances with perhaps a little history, but by all means terminating their studies there and not letting them meddle in philosophy because it takes them off from their domestic affairs and because it generally fills them of themselves. 'Tis a weakness common to our own sex as well as theirs. We see no reason why women should not be learned now, for if we have seen one lady gone mad with learning, there are 100 men who could be named, whom the same cause has rendered fit for bedlam. Like, that feels really progressive for 1690s.
Who is this advice giver? Who I'm assuming is
this some feminist progressive monk from the 1690s? Yeah. Like, that's awesome.
Ally,
like, I'd give him a job. He's better than the current Republican government.
We're going to get letters from people in the UK going, we'll have you know that in the 1690s, we were very culturally forward. It's like,
don't you want to listen and go for it. Right? Correct us all you want.
I mean, I don't think I did that period of history. I might have done that period of history, but I think I was focused on Europe. So, yeah, maybe they were. Anyway, that's hilarious. I love it. And he gave some really good advice there. That could be learned. Although I do like the idea of the woman whose only learning was telling two pairs of trousers apart.
That one got me.
My husband's trousers? No!
If they can distinguish between their husband's breeches and another man's.
I don't know that I could, so that's some learning I don't have.
Yeah. That's quite hard. It's quite hard unless you made them yourself. I mean,
I'm not even sure that I can tell the difference between my breeches and someone else's. And we are like, we are like sizes different. And there are times that I've pulled laundry out of the dryer and I've been like, is this mine or Jada's?
Oh, yeah. I mean, size and style differences completely between me and Travis. And I'm still like, mine or.
God. Ah, what a cool guy. I want to meet him now. Or her. I'm presuming it's a guy.
It's a guy.
It's probably a guy.
I think he said something about our sex.
Oh, yes, our sex. Crime, so. Yes.
That's right. And that was a good one, too. Like, for every woman who's gone mad with knowledge, there's 100 men who've done that. So that's a really...
Whom the same cause has rendered fit for bedlam. I just, the language is so unfamiliar to me. Like, I'm just like tripping over it.
That's how our podcast is conducted. What are you saying?
We're super fancy.
Casting aspersions upon us.
And don't let them.
You made me spill my tea.
Dabble in philosophy, because then they'll start doing podcasts and spreading their bedlam about.
Yes, that's right. Their confused trousers and its merits.
The confused trousers. Ding, ding. That's the episode. Confused trousers.
Confused trousers.
Beautiful. Is that all the advice that we're going to be dispensing to?
Oh, that's all the advice for that particular question. Here's some I didn't proofread. That one's a little.
when we were deciding to do these advice things, I was Brandon had the idea, and I was digging through old Australian issues of Women's Weekly because that's, you know, fun. But fuck, it was hilarious. Just a I told you guys about it and you're like, maybe we won't use the Women's Weekly because on the same page as one of the advice columns was this article about how we must protect the purity of the white race. I'm like, oh shit, that's right, I forgot that Australia was fucking racist back then. It's like, oh, 1933, too, right before World War II. Oh, nice yeah. one, I mean, Australia.
Good eugenics programs going.
All right, what do we want? What do we want? Do we want relationships, science, or philosophy?
Science!
Science? Science? Okay, okay.
Science.
All right. Why don't moonbeams convey warmth as the sunbeams do?
I love
That's a good question.
That's a good question. You know, like, they were forward thinkers, scientific minds. From these
I'm
reasons.
I'm imagining this guy standing outside at night being like, why am I not being warmed?
Why am I not being warmed?
I can see
that, there was no internet back then.
This is like their form of Google. This is pretty great.
Yes.
So the
one dude with a quill in a house up on the hill. Come on,
and we complain about our internet connections. I mean, this probably took weeks to get back. By the time I got it back, I might have. I was just. By the time this gets back, I've got the plague and I'm on my last legs, and I don't care about the moon anymore.
I don't care about moonbeams anymore.
I'm still not getting warmed by the moon, you bastards.
Oh, because you're locked up in your house. from these reasons,
and it's being burnt down.
From these reasons, as we imagine. The first is the great distance the moon is from us, and consequently, the rays of the sun are reflected very weakly. No doubt, but were we upon the moon, we should find the rays reflect from it all around its atmosphere, as the rays of the sun falling on the earth reflect a great heat, especially from walls and sides of houses. I don't understand anything I just read. The second.
He's saying that the moon's too far away.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. It's further away
than
the sun.
Yeah, and he's saying if you were on the moon, it would
be warm. Okay. The second reason may be the roughness and the porosity of the moon's body, which is not so apt for reflection as if it were smooth and close. And last, because of the globosity of the moon. Globosity? I don't.
Yeah.
For being round, it reflects the sun's rays every way and does not collect them so strongly for any one place. I mean, that's...
Jesus, man! Like, he's actually
what
right!
I
know!
Doing, though?
Like, I like that the reason the moon is too cold is because it's too far away.
Yeah, it's from. I mean, they didn't know how big it was or anything like that.
I mean,
but
they did say it's being reflected, though, so.
Yeah, I didn't think they knew that back then.
Point. Yeah, I didn't know that either. That they knew that, like,
like there's yeah. some there's so some solid science going on here. Like,
that. Like,
yeah. So like, yeah, they haven't even they haven't even sent anyone to the moon yet. Man, I bet they were disappointed.
Yeah, so I think that was their point, is that it was far away. So since it's being reflected and it's far away, you're not.
I think that.
Although
I mean,
they're wrong on the point.
I could be wrong on this, and I'm not a scientist, but I could be wrong on this. But I actually think the moon's rays do give warmth. I have to look it up.
Oh,
I will look
probably.
It up. Please at
I
me
mean,
if I'm wrong, but I'm actually, but it's a
very,
it's such a minuscule amount that it doesn't
matter. Yeah, we wouldn't
matter.
Feel it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he was right on the point that we don't feel it because it's far away and being reflected.
Yes.
Wrong on the point that we would feel it were we on the moon.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Mean,
I believe
when they're up on
the
moon, they're usually wearing a big suit.
Is enough that you, I mean, it, there's probably heat coming at you, but I.
Yeah. There's
it's not being captured.
You know what? They actually cover the science very well in Andy Weir's book, Artemis. I highly recommend it. I would like some credit for shilling for you, Andy. no, they actually do talk about like the dangers and the differences of being on the moon, like out in the atmosphere.
Yeah, because there's no protection. Like, and that's the other thing too. If you're out in space, there's no protection.
Yeah.
From the atmosphere, so you can actually end up boiling to death.
Yeah
you can't there's nothing to protect you from the sun, so like the radiation, that's what it is, the radiation.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
That's what you said. Oh, look, it's an hour.
Good. Okay,
that was cool. I like this guy. I want to subscribe to his podcast.
We'll just sit here now listening to his sage 1700s wisdom.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want answers to 17th century advice, or you have your own modern problems you'd like to discuss with us.
As if you'd like to ask us about moonbeams and men's trousers.
Trousers.
Trousers. We can give you our tips for how we tell our husband's breeches from other breeches.
Exactly.
It's not pretty.
No. There's a sniff test.
You're so brave.
Yeah, my name's not going there.
You can send all those queries to bibibicast@gmail.com or...
And unless it's wiped away in the apocalypse, you can also go to bye 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 cast at Tumblr.com.
Just, you can't send us dick pics anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, you guys. Can't. Sorry. Yeah. Stop
your
sending
days,
us dick pics.
Days are up. We've enjoyed we all also... the many dick pics you've sent us.
If you'd like to give us money, then
please.
You can go to our Patreon, which is now actually I've managed to get the Patreon URL right. It's patreon.com/bye bye bye,
which you can also find a link to on the Tumblr. And if you give us money, you get fun things.
You do get fun things. We also going to expand the Patreon a little bit so that this past advice giving will go into text format. So if you want to read up on our responses to bad advice columnists, then
we'll keep the fun ones on air and we'll do the bad ones.
We've got some good hot takes on the Patreon. our own advice
for our hot takes.
You can also get fun things like Brandon's show notes.
Yes. I'll talk to you guys about that.
Oh yes, and there's a Discord.
There is a Discord, yes. If you become a $1 Patreon, then you get to chat with us in a Discord if we're around, which we are pretty much all the time. So.
Since we're global, we're also, pretty much at any hour of day.
Global and sleepless.
Global and sleepless.
Yes, pretty much.
That'll be the name of our production company.
Yeah. Should be. So write that one down too. Hang on.
Global and sleepless productions. All right.
Always a pleasure.
Always.
We'll see you next week. Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.
Remember, boys and girls, don't put it in your mouth.
Hey, what am I doing? I don't even like beets.
Then don't put it in your mouth. Bye bye, everyone.